This is Love Your Work. On this show, we help you find your unique signature as a creative entrepreneur. I'm David Cadavy. I've been a solopreneur for more than 10 years. I'm an international award-winning designer. I've written a couple best-selling books, Design for Hackers and Now the Heart to Start. From my closet in Colombia, I've interviewed titans of industry like Steve Case. I've interviewed best-selling authors like Seth Godin and James Altucher. I've interviewed experts on behavioral science, creators from dancers to a chef to a Hollywood set designer. I want to find out how each of them discovered what made them one in a million, and I bring those insights to you so you can find out what makes you one in a million too. If you are new here, again, I am David Cadavy. Welcome. If you want to join us here on Love Your Work every Thursday, please hit subscribe on your podcast app and get my free creative productivity toolkit. Sign up at cadavy.net/tools. Now, the way that you spend your first hour of the day really sets the tone for the rest of your day, but there seems to be an endless number of ways that you can spend this precious time. So should you meditate? Should you go for a jog? Should you do some writing, which is what I like to do? Benjamin Spall is co-author of the new book, My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. He and his co-author have interviewed 300 successful people from business, fitness, the arts, so many other areas of the world. People like Biz Stone, Arianna Huffington, General Stanley McChrystal, and Marie Kondo. Oh, and I'm in the book as well. They interviewed me about my morning routine and my evening routine. I'm going to tell you why it is that I wear the dorkiest orange goggles that you can possibly imagine every night before bed. Now, they've looked for the patterns amongst successful people to find out the things that you're going to hear in this conversation. Things like, what time do successful people get up in the morning? You hear a lot of talk about getting up at 4 a.m. Is that the norm? Now, how do successful people manage technology to get the most out of their days? You're going to hear a tip from a former Love Your Work guest, Nirial. And if you haven't optimized your morning routine, the options can really be overwhelming. How can you start making lasting changes now? And how did reviewing 300 different people's morning routines affect the way that Benjamin himself handles his own morning routine? And if you enjoy Love Your Work, please consider donating to the show on Patreon. You might think of it like Stephen Carbaugh does. Stephen told me that my pleas to donate the cost of one coffee a month finally paid off. He even said that he signed up for Patreon solely to start supporting the show, which is a great honor. Maybe you go to a coffee meeting once in a while with a mentor in your life, or maybe someone who looks to you for advice buys you a coffee. One of the things that I really love about producing this show is that it is like coffee meetings on steroids. I get to really focus on how to make the most out of an hour-long conversation with my guest. So I think the signal-to-noise ratio really obliterates any coffee meeting that I've ever had. So hopefully as a listener, it feels the same way. So think of it as a coffee meeting, or rather four coffee meetings a month with me and my guests. And maybe that's worth $3 or $5 or $15 a month. If you agree with that, please donate at cadavy.net/donate. That is cadavy.net/donate. I'm really excited to have Earth Class Mail as a sponsor. Earth Class Mail transforms the daily piles of mail, checks, invoices, and correspondence into digital documents that you can act upon. Their online tools help you identify checks and deposit them quickly and automatically with no trips to the bank, with available integrations into your accounting and billing systems. Earth Class Mail allows you to streamline, organize, and collaborate on all your documents so you can stop wasting time scanning documents. It's really amazing. Go to earthclassmail.com, and when you sign up, use the promo code LOVE. You're going to save 10% for 3 months, or you can tell a sales rep the promo code LOVE and get 8% off the already discounted yearly plan pricing. That's earthclassmail.com. Save with the promo code LOVE. I'm honored to have Weebly sponsoring Love Your Work. With Weebly, you get an easy-to-build website with stunningly beautiful templates, but that's not all that you get. You also get tons of tools to help you turn that website into a business. Weebly helps you process payments, manage inventory, and promote your products. You know, stuff that gets you paid. Weebly is offering 15% off just for Love Your Work listeners. Go to weebly.com/loveyourwork. That is Weebly, weebly.com/loveyourwork. And you'll get 15% off when you sign up for your online store. Weebly, more than just a beautiful website. Here is Benjamin Spall. Okay, I'm here with Benjamin Spall, who is author of My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. And you interviewed, I think, 300 different people about their morning routines, including myself. how is it that you got so interested in morning routines? What is so important about morning routines?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me, David. I think the thing that brought us into morning routines to begin with was simply kind of the habit element of it. We believe habits are a very important part of your day. And that really starts with your morning, because when you wake up, you have this blank slate in which you can work with. And then when you have these habits that you do every single morning, you can kind of like bring these in and have one after another. We call it habit stacking. And then you can really make the most of your morning and actually bring your day about into like a calm setting instead of, you know, starting off all like crazy and stressed out as many of us do nowadays.
Yeah. And people who are longtime listeners of the podcast will remember that we had BJ Fogg, a Stanford professor who's an expert on habits. He definitely talked about that habit stacking idea. And I guess, you know, habits can kind of get rid of any second guessing that you might have in the morning. Is that pretty much what you're saying?
That's exactly what we're saying. Yeah. And it's and these habits themselves, they can change over time. Like we often get people saying to us that, like, if we contact someone about their morning routine that we previously published, they may say that their routine has completely changed and they want to ask if they can redo it. But we often point out that it's totally fine for your routine to change over time. It's likely not going to change mm-hmm. all at once, but like, you know, one habit will, you know, leave and a new habit will come in. And as long as they are in keeping with your values at the time and kind of what you want to achieve, that's completely fine. And that should be, you know, that should be encouraged.
And, you know, you interviewed something like 300 people. They're mm-hmm. all successful people by one definition or another.
Right.
Did you have any people who were like, you know, I just kind of do stuff?
Yeah, no, totally. We, not so many of those made it into the book, to be honest. But we have had some people that just say they don't have any particular routine. But then what we do find is that every even if you say you don't have a routine, everyone does do something that is routine in the morning. So quite often, if they say to us they don't have a routine, they'll then still answer our questions and go through the notions of it. And then we'll actually see it's like, well, actually, you do something that's clearly quite positive for yourself every morning. And even though, you know, it may not be crazy, it may not, like, you know, be working out for hours and meditating and all these different things, it's a routine. And then if you wanted to work on that, if you wanted to add something in, like we just mentioned, the habit stacking, that's so much easier than if you kind of didn't have a routine.
Yeah, we all naturally are going to have some sort of routine things. That's interesting. I'm surprised to learn that, you know, there were people who were successful that said, oh, you know, I just kind of do stuff. But maybe I wonder if it's like an idea that some people are resistant to the mm-hmm. idea of having a routine. Did you sense any of that in talking to people about writing this book?
Yeah, definitely. The people who often, you know, it hasn't been a high number, but the small number of people who have told us that they don't really have a routine, they're often more creative types, like literally kind of artist types. And mm-hmm. Like I said, like, you know, I would then listen to what they tell me and then, you know, I'd be like, no, this sounds very routine to me. But it's more of a not wanting it to seem that way, because routine can seem almost like a dirty word. And I believe nowadays there's kind of been this like influx of, you know, morning routine articles and all these things. So nowadays people are, you know, seeing it in a more positive light, but it's definitely been seen in the past as, you know, a routine is almost a negative connotation, which is kind of why they may have been trying to like get away from that definition.
Yeah, that's really funny, because I think myself, I was resistant to having a routine mm-hmm. for the longest time and just kind of wanted to be at the whims of my creative energy and such.
Right.
And, you know, as I've started creating more things, and maybe it's because I've got a more defined voice. So I'm less looking for those serendipitous things to happen. But now I find routines to be extremely important, to boosting my creativity. Like this podcast has actually been a wonderful, introduction to routines, or even having systems or having some sort of repeatable thing. And now that I've realized like how much I'm able to produce, you know, over 125 episodes, very consistently with, you know, much less mental effort than it might have taken if I were just kind of doing it whenever I felt like, thanks to routines, mm-hmm. I find myself really trying to expand that, to other parts of my work and my life. So I think even for creative people, having a routine, it can actually enhance your creativity which is very counterintuitive. Is that something that you heard from creative people?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would say that having a routine and having a morning routine in particular just makes everything else that much easier. And we like to think of it as kind of like starting your morning with intention and bringing these kind of early morning wins with you into the rest of the day. But yeah, everyone we spoke to, all creative people we spoke to, really found that having time to be creative, whether that's writing or art or anything else, having that time as kind of a set time, a routine time, really helps with them. And I'm sure you may have read the book Daily Rituals by Mason Curry.
Absolutely.
We had Mason on. Yeah, it's a fantastic book. And we had Mason on our website a few years back, and we actually let him know about this book well in advance. But he, in that book, he details, it's kind of similar to ours, that he speaks about morning routines, daily rituals rather, from people, for the most part, deceased, older creative, famous folks. And you read their stuff, and it's just like, there's a lot of authors, there's a lot of artists, but for the most part, they work in a very routine fashion. They work at a particular time of day. That may not be the morning, it may be in the evening. But they're working at the same time every day, and they're really, getting that stuff done because of that.
A funny thing that I noticed in reading Daily Rituals, this might kind of sound kind of weird, is like over and over, I'm like, oh, this person's servant did this and that person's servant did this. It's like, oh, it's just a bunch of rich people. But I mean, these are people who right. who had the means to create long ago. But now I think more and more of us have that extra energy to be able to create things. And we don't have servants necessarily, but we can set up systems and having habits and routines is one way to basically lift that cognitive load so that you do have the creative energy free in order to do things. So that's something interesting that I noticed. So let's kind of go down the list. What are the benefits of a morning routine that you, the patterns that you found for why people have them or why people might want to consider thinking about their morning routine if they have mm-hmm. not already?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would say is what I kind of just mentioned about those early morning wins. So many people we spoke to talked about their morning workout routine. And the way that they spoke about it was, the idea was if you get your morning workout in, in the morning, that's something that you've already accomplished. And if the rest of your day doesn't work out so great, you can always think, well, at least I got that workout in. And that can relate to writing, that can relate to meditating, and yeah, that came out time and again as one.
Yeah, and that's something that I have certainly found. I meditate first thing in the morning. I immediately write first thing in the morning. And, that it feels so good to then maybe go out off to the gym after that and feel like, okay, whatever happens the rest of the day, I've accomplished something. Anything else?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think in general, it's just, it really... I mean, you have those early morning wins, but it kind of really calms you down, like when you start your day. And I believe so many of us nowadays, we're kind of, we're very stressed out with work. We have so much going on. A lot of it is self-inflicted in terms of actually, checking Twitter, checking the news, which are all very stressful environments to be in. And I find that having a morning routine in which you try and keep your morning as calm as possible, like, for example, by not checking email until you actually sit down to work, is a great way to actually have that time at the beginning of the day. Because the rest of your day, for the most part, unless you may work out in the afternoon or something, but for the rest of your day, you're likely going to be in this constant, swirl of email and work and potential stress. And so I believe it's a great time to actually bring the, the comfort and the calmness of the night that you've just had from sleeping and just, make that last a little bit longer.
Yeah, this is an important thing that I've noticed is that in the morning, my willpower is extremely low. I'm extremely distractible. Mm. If I touch my phone, if I check my email, if I leave my house, if I talk to a person, that has completely taken me off track for the rest of the day because I really have very low discipline in the morning. Now, people who have listened to this podcast for a long time, who have heard the neuroscientist John Kunios talk about the neuroscience of creativity, know that when you have that low willpower, when you are having trouble focusing, that's actually when you're most creative. And so as somebody who's creating things, that has a dual purpose. One is to protect me from my low willpower and my low focus. You know, my phone is not allowed in my bedroom. It's kept on a table face down. I don't check it until after I've written. But then it's also my most creative time of day. So I'm getting kind of a compounding effect out of it. That 1 or 2 hours, the first couple hours in the morning, I can do more and better writing during that amount of time than I can during much of the rest of the day. Another thing that longtime listeners will remember from my former colleague, Dan Ariely, the behavioral scientist, talking about how we thought about that in building Timeful, which later sold to Google, is that a morning routine or whenever it happens, when you have that couple hours when you can do more and better work during other times of the day, it's a good idea to protect that. So is that something that you heard from creators as well?
Oh, no. Yeah, for sure. And I even find that with myself. Like, for example, when I was writing this book, I often find, you know, often if you're outlining, you know, a part of a book or an article, it can kind of take a while and, you know, your mind is wandering. But quite often the time when I'm most likely to procrastinate is when it's kind of going well. You know, like if a sentence is going well, I'm halfway through, I'll be like, wow, this is going well. Let's take my energy somewhere else. And it's really hard in those moments, especially if that's in the morning, it's really hard in those moments to, you know, bring it back in and be like, no, I need to work on this.
Wait, yeah, hold on a second.
I'm very distractible.
When it's going well, you end up going to do something else? How does that, tell me more about that.
I know it. I know it. It's kind of a strange thing. And to be honest, I also procrastinate when it's not going so well. So it could just be that's a problem of mine. But no, if I'm writing, you know, if I'm halfway through a paragraph for the book and it's going incredibly well, my brain kind of feels like, well, now is a good time to procrastinate because, you know, you're doing a good job. You know, this won't take long to finish. Whereas in reality, it won't take long to finish if I continue it. But if I actually then procrastinate for 20 minutes, well, that's time lost. Well,
maybe it's like a reward sort of sensation. Is it anything like
it
that?
It could be.
Because I know one thing that I've experimented with morning writing habits, and you know, I had the 500 word a day Medium post habit for a little while. And I first 90 minutes of my day, I'd write and publish a Medium post. And then I tried switching to 100 words. And one of the interesting things I found from that was that normally after I would write a Medium post, I would be like, oh, great, now I can go check Twitter. It's like my little reward. But then when I wrote 100 words, I ended up having the same thing happen where, okay, I wrote 100 words, it took me 10 minutes. Now I want to check Twitter, et cetera. So it's like I would kind of want to reward myself. So is that like what's going on in the middle of the paragraph for you?
It could be. And to be honest, Twitter has been the main, you know, culprit of that procrastination. So there's definitely been times in my life, like writing this book and then more recently, where I've just had to ignore Twitter for as long as possible. Because to be honest, that's kind of the whole of procrastination that I often fall down.
Yeah, I love Twitter. It's like my favorite thing. So we're talking about morning routines here. Obviously, in the morning, you have slept a certain amount. I think a lot of people think that successful people don't really get a lot of sleep. Is that something that you have found in talking to 300 successful people?
No, not at all. We actually found, so right at the very back of the book, we have this statistics page of a small number of stats from everyone in the book, plus everyone on the website. And we actually found that the sleep average is 7 hours and 29 minutes. Which is actually basically the same as kind of like Fitbit and Jawbone data. It's always around 7.5 hours, almost exactly. So first of all, we found that was interesting that it was basically the same as kind of the populace that used those items as a whole. But we did find just from interviewing people, you know, anecdotally, that sleep is very important. Like, for example, we spoke to the chairman of Vanguard, the you know, investment company, and he used the phrase something like, I'll sacrifice anything to get the right amount of sleep. And there were many people like him who just, to them, sleep was kind of the whole game. And if they didn't get the sleep, it wasn't really worth it.
Yeah, I know that I've been experimenting with different morning routines this particular week. And somehow it's kind of crept into my sleep, and I had a bad sleep day yesterday, and I was thinking like, oh, why am I so grumpy right now? And I realized like, oh, I didn't sleep very well, so I took a nap, and things got better. So speaking of naps, do we see a lot of napping amongst our respondents?
You know, it didn't come up often, but that could mainly be just because, you know, we focus on the mornings. But personally, I do nap, and not every single day. But I napped yesterday, for example, and it's usually just for about 20 minutes at a time. But yeah, I've written about this quite a lot. Napping is a great way. If you didn't get enough sleep the night before, taking a really short nap, as long as you don't fall into deep sleep, but taking a really short nap is a really great way to kind of give you that little boost. And it doesn't always work. I have woken up groggy before, and that could be because I fell too far into the sleep cycle. But when it does work, it's like you feel great upon waking up.
And another guest a lot of listeners might remember is Alex Pang, who talked about the importance of rest on the show. And, I've been doing a lot of napping in afternoons. I often find that I get another like special kind of creative session after that because I do wake up a little bit groggy. Now, I personally am really bad at taking a nap. So I use another guest's app, Andrew Johnson. He's got an app called Relax, and it's a really good thing that I can listen to even if I don't fall asleep. He's a hypnotist, so he hypnotizes me, with this app, and it makes me so relaxed, and it's just a really good energy boost in the middle of the day if I need it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I normally, whenever I normally meditate for just 10 minutes at a time, and usually first thing in the morning. But sometimes if I like kind of don't want to take a nap, but I also want to relax a little, I'll meditate for another 10 minutes in the afternoon. And although not as good as a good nap, it always does help to bring me some more energy and kind of take away like the fogginess from all the work I've just been doing.
Now, another big thing that I often hear about sleep or morning routines is seems to be a trend of people blogging about where they're like bragging about waking up at 4 a.m. and stuff. So what time are successful people getting up?
Yes, I can probably have the average figure. I mean, it kind of goes all over the place. But the average we have here is... So the wake-up average is 6:24 for our book. And so that is on the earlier side, but we did find that we didn't really interview anyone who was getting up crazy early. We may have had a couple of 4 a.m.s, but I think that's kind of rare. And I think that shows that it's important to get enough sleep, but you don't have to be like someone who gets up at 4 or 5 a.m. every single day. That works for some people. And usually, those people won't mention the fact that they go to bed at 8 or 9, in the evening. So even when people are getting up that kind of crazy early time, they are getting kind of the relative sleep to help them with that.
Now, I was surprised as almost a lifelong late sleeper that 97% are up by 8:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. So that was the surprise to me. What was kind of the later times that you heard about?
Man, I don't know. I think 8:30 was kind of at the later end. Obviously we had a few more because of 97%. They were generally up a little on the earlier side. We interviewed, I think for the most part, the people that we spoke with were kind of morning people. We do have a few people in there who are certainly, they make the point that they're night owls. Most of the people we spoke with kind of do get up on the slightly earlier side.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to get up early and you're going to have some amount of energy, then you have to get a good night's sleep. So What about evening routines for waking up with energy?
Yeah, well, the way we kind of like look at it is you kind of want to structure your evening. So we kind of feel like instead of simply running up the hours until you're finally bored enough to go to bed, you should structure your evening routine that helps you kind of wind down from the responsibilities of the day and help you start your morning strong. So there are many different things you can do for that, like, laying out your clothes for the next day. That's kind of a classic one. That could be your workout clothes if you work out in the morning, or just, your regular work clothes.
I like that because you don't have to make a decision in the morning. When at least for me, I have no willpower.
No, exactly. Yeah, there are so many things that you can do in the evening when you may be tired. You might be ready to go to bed, but it's better to kind of do it then than have to deal with making another decision in the morning. So, for example, one thing that came up over and over again was kind of cleaning up your home, especially your kitchen. And this is especially true, like me, if you live in a small studio apartment, it kind of sucks if you wake up. And like you need a particular pan to make breakfast, and it's kind of at the bottom of a pile of washing up. that's not a great way to start your morning. So yeah, to me, during the weekdays, I'm a little more relaxed on weekends, but during the weekdays, I'll always make sure the washing up is done before I'm going to bed. The kitchen area is generally quite clean.
Yeah, having to wash dishes in the morning, I would not be my idea of starting the day with a win.
Right.
And I will say with the evening routines, that's something that I do a lot. I think I open up my examples, open up the evening routines chapter in the book to give people a taste of that. There's a few different things that I do. One is basically I try not to do any social media after 10 p.m. I wear the blue blocker goggles, which I think a lot of people, they use Flux or the iOS now has these things that change the color temperature. But I don't trust it. I don't think that it's really cutting out all of the blue light that can disrupt your circadian rhythms. I don't know if that's something that you came across in writing the book, whether or not that stuff actually works.
Well, yeah, Michael, my co-author from co-founder for the website, he pointed out that those things are filters. So they are much better than nothing, but they are only kind of filtering the blue light. So there's still some, you know, getting through to your eyes.
Right. And so wearing the blue blocker goggles like I do, I wear these dorky orange goggles that they fit over my, huge. They fit over my glasses. And now, I mean, that's blocking the blue light from everything. And I tell you, I get sleepy pretty quickly when I put them on.
Right. Right.
And here's a thing that I haven't heard written about or talked about much, and there needs to be a study or something, is that I found that I actually do read on my iPad at night before bed, but with the goggles on to block the light. Something I never thought that I would do. I never thought I would read on an iPad. I was so anti that for so long. But the thing that I found that really makes a difference is that I don't do any social media after 10 p.m. And I think it has something to do with, I don't know, like if a family member is texting me or something after 10 and I haven't put my phone away, which I usually try to do, it's not that big of a deal. But anytime I see something that causes me to think about a large group of people to whom I'm not close, just random people, I feel like something happens there that keeps me from sleeping. So that's been a huge thing for me, is to keep the social media off at 10 p.m. I probably am the only person who has that exact rule, I would assume, out of your cohort.
Yeah, I think you're for sure the only person who mentioned that. But I can totally see why that would be. And you know, for example, we have me and my wife have a few WhatsApp groups, you know, with her family and with my family. And that to me, that's not stressful at all. That's quite nice to receive those messages. But I certainly don't want to be looking at Twitter or Facebook or anything, you know, later on at night, because that's certainly going to kind of that's gonna stop my ability to sleep, because a lot of it is just kind of a circus, you know, and it's just not great to help with, you know, bringing sleepiness just before bedtime.
We're going to take a quick break. I am so thrilled to have Skillshare back as a sponsor of Love Your Work. I know that you will love Skillshare because you are a Love Your Work listener, and Love Your Work listeners love to learn. Skillshare is an online learning platform with over 18,000 classes in business, marketing, entrepreneurship, technology, much, much more. A class that I personally really enjoyed is called Real Productivity, Create Your Ideal Week, with Skillshare founder and CEO, Michael Karjanapakorn. And Michael has an impressive command over managing his time and mental energy.
If you look at my calendar, you'll see that it's color-coded. So anything that's in gray are recurring meetings. Anything yellow is a signal that anyone could put a meeting in that time block. Anything in red are like tasks or things that I do on a day-by-day basis.
Join the millions of students already on Skillshare today with a special offer just for my listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. 99 cents, you can't buy a decent pen for 99 cents. Anyway, that is right. Skillshare is offering Love Your Work listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 18,000 classes for just 99 cents. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/loveyourwork. Again, go to skillshare.com/loveyourwork to start your 2 months now. If you're a creative entrepreneur, you need more than just a beautiful website. You need a powerful website. Success isn't just getting your products online. It's getting your products into the hands of the customers who will love them. I'm honored to have Weebly sponsoring Love Your Work. With Weebly, You don't just get an easy to build website with great looking templates. And by the way, as a designer, I have to say, Weebly's templates are stunning. With Weebly, your website is not just beautiful. You also get tons of tools to help you turn that website into a business. This means features to help promote your products, process payment, manage inventory, send marketing campaigns, and get discovered by new customers. You know, stuff that gets you paid. Stuff at the intersection of your love and money Venn diagram. Weebly is offering 15% off just for Love Your Work listeners at weebly.com/loveyourwork. That's right. As a fan of Love Your Work, go to weebly.com/loveyourwork. That's Weebly, weebly.com/loveyourwork. And you'll get 15% off when you sign up for your online store. Weebly, more than just a beautiful website. And another method that I saw was from Neri Al, who's been on the podcast twice. Lots of podcast guests relevant to this conversation was that he has his router, his internet router, turns off automatically at say 10 p.m.
Right. That's funny. I was gonna say that. Yeah. No. It just as a kind of a way to encourage him to put down his phone and computer and go to bed.
Yes, he was actually using the technology to keep himself from using too much technology, which works well in many rooms.
Yeah, that's probably an edge case. You probably need to be, you know, kind of like very tech savvy, like Nir, to actually do that. so I'm not expecting everyone who reads the book to figure that out, because I certainly don't know how to do that. But I thought that was a very interesting point, so I included it.
Yeah, I think he just has, you can get those timers that it's an electrical outlet and you can set a timer on it.
Now.
But I'm usually uploading something, or, you know, I've got maybe something's backing up. I've got my backup service, my Backblaze or something like that. So I haven't gotten to that level yet. It seems like that would be really useful. I have found that one thing that really helps for me, and it seems like I've heard this many times, is having a bedtime. Having an actual, you go to bed at this time every night. Was that anything that you found amongst the people that you talked to?
Oh yeah. Like having a bedtime at the same time every night and having a, you know, generally getting up at the same time every day is huge for your morning routine, because you'll notice if you start getting up at the same time every day, you tend to wake up, you know, like a minute or two before that time every day, especially if you do it every single day, including the weekends, which is hard, I know. But for sure, like me and my wife are always trying to do this. We kind of fail because she's more of a night owl. I'm more of a earlier person. So she's always, you know, wanting to stay up later. I'm always wanting to go to bed early. So it's kind of hard to find that medium. But if we do kind of get a medium of going to bed at around about the same time every day for a week, for example, not only do we feel better, you know, in our sleep, but we generally wake up at around the same time feeling refreshed.
Yeah, and this is something I found that it's worth it to even extend it into your weekend, or at least try to. I know I spent a lot of my 20s staying up until 4 a.m. But then, you know, you're running on cycles. There's ebbs and flows to these things, so you throw it completely off. So to this day, on the weekend, I my bedtime is pretty much midnight, or oftentimes I get sleepy before that time and I go to bed before that. But I have found that if I go like 3 minutes after midnight, like I can feel it in the morning.
It's just, really?
Something happens with that exact time. It makes a huge difference for me. I know that the average amongst your cohort, it looks like, was 10:56 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said the average wake up was somewhere around 6:30. So it comes out to be your 7.5 hour average that you were talking about. So, didn't you talk to, you always hear about these people who only need 2 hours of sleep or don't need any sleep at all. Did you run into any of those people?
You know what? We really didn't. And we mentioned this in the book. They, I think in the sleep chapter, that, you know, there's this thing called short sleepers, which is, they believe Margaret Thatcher was one of these. And, you know, they really can get by on approximately 4 hours of sleep a night, not anything less particularly. But, you know, the old saying goes, if you think you're one of them, you're almost certainly not. is like a very, very small number of people can actually get by and do well on that number, that few hours of sleep. For the vast majority of us, you're needing between 7 and 9 hours of sleep a night. And we point out in the book that just that doesn't mean, you know, between 7 and 9 hours doesn't mean 7 hours. You could be at the 9 hours range. I'm definitely at the 8 hour point. I'm certainly not at seven. You know, if I get 7 hours of sleep for many nights in a row, I will be very sleepy at the end of that. So we really didn't speak with anyone who really pushes it that way. The majority of the people that we spoke to who get up really early, as mentioned earlier, they go to bed very early as well.
And we've talked a little bit about, a creator like myself or yourself wanting to create something first thing in the morning. Did you see different types of roles that people play? Maybe a creative person does a certain thing in the morning, but say an executive does a different thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I would say it was pretty similar. Like the executives we spoke with Ed Catmull, the president of Pixar, and his mornings are much more relaxed. And I believe the reason for that is probably because, you know, he then goes into work to actually, you know, do his job. And the same, we spoke to the CEO of Cliff and Company. And that was kind of the same idea. So they would both kind of work out a little bit in the morning. I know Ed meditates. So I can't remember about the Cliff guy. But so I would say for executives, it was kind of more time to themselves in the morning because they would then be spending, you know, their time at work after that. And with creative people, it was more so, even though they would, you know, they definitely take some time to themselves with some self-care and such in the morning, they would also kind of do some of their work because they know for the most part they can, you know, take some more time to themselves later on in the day.
So it sounds like whether you're creative or an executive, you can really benefit from kind of paying yourself first thing in the morning. In the creative's case, you might be a little bit more creative in the morning. You aren't taking in interruptions like email, things like that. I think with an executive as well, you probably have a lot of employees who are trying to talk to you or vendors that you're working with, but it's, you know, being an executive requires executive thinking, which requires space and time to actually do that thinking. Morning probably being the best time to do that. Actually, it reminds me of, I used to live in the Chicago area, and O'Hare is notorious. It's one of the worst airports in the entire country as far as delays go. But that's only true if you leave sometime after, I think it was 10 a.m. or something like that. If your flight leaves early in the morning, say 7 or 8 or something like that, you have just the same chances of leaving on time as any other airport in the U.S. So I think that it's the same thing with our days and with our morning routines, is that it's just very easy because we naturally are poor planners and naturally things happen. There's sort of entropy that happens throughout the day. In the morning, you can make those decisions. You can have that routine. You can have that blocked off time. It's much easier to control that. There's less factors there to disrupt it. But then as the day goes on, there becomes more and more opportunities for you to get off track.
Oh, that is exactly right. And, you know, like the whole idea of decision fatigue and such like that is just in the morning, you're kind of much more of a blank slate. And even if you've had a very stressful day the day before and you're working up to like 10 p.m. before you went to bed, the morning really is kind of this time where you can just kind of relax a little bit and be calm and know that even if your calendar is full from like 9 a.m. onwards, just kind of take that time and if possible, even, you know, don't check your email because that may be the only calm time you get until you go to bed at night. So it's kind of good to actually take that.
And I know that the people with children are either rolling their eyes or they've already turned off the conversation because they're listening to these two guys who don't have kids. Right. And I've often heard the criticism of a lot of productivity advice is like, oh, it's for people who don't have kids. Mm-hmm. But you have a whole section about people with kids. So you have talked to people with children. You know, speaking of things that can get in your way in the morning of doing the things that you hope to accomplish, what sort of things did you find amongst the people you talk to who do have children?
Yeah, no, it was an important point. We definitely wanted like a whole chapter on parents. And so we have one chapter that is dedicated to parents, but there are of course parents, you know, sprinkled throughout the book anyway. And it's true, like Michael and I do not have children. separately, obviously. But we interviewed many parents for the books, and kind of at varying ages, from I think the youngest has a 1-year-old or something to teenage children. And it was kind of very interesting in that they all recognize these struggles, and all of them kind of talked about how it was easier when they didn't have kids. So we're not trying to pretend that it's the same or that it's even easier now. But we're just trying to give all these examples from these parents themselves. And then we kind of came up with these ideas from what they said about how you can go about your day and go about your morning rather, and still have, you know, some semblance of a morning routine, even if you have all these kids that you have to look after.
And were there any special techniques that people used to find some time for themselves in the mornings?
Yeah, so one of them, which is potentially also an eye roll moment, is waking up before your kids, if possible. And this of course isn't always possible, because you know your kids may have different, if they're not on a proper schedule yet, they may have different times that they wake up. It also may be the last thing you want to do if you didn't get much sleep in the night anyway. But if it is possible, it is a great way to actually have some time to yourself. And we spoke with many people also on the website who didn't make it into the book, who say just getting up early before your kids kind of wake up is a great way to have that time to yourself, even if it's just half an hour, to just, you know, kind of being able to sit quietly with a cup of coffee is a great way to spend your time. Something else that came up time and again is the fact that kids really thrive on having a routine of their own. So if you can kind of, create a routine for them and then like build your own routine around that, that's a great way to actually, you know, spend your morning together, but set them up with good habits for the future as well. And one final point, which is I thought was great, was just to keep your eyes off your devices in front of your kids, especially in the morning. And we, you know, these haven't been around for very long, these, smartphones. And we don't really know the effects of this on kids yet, in terms of, you know, your attention always being elsewhere. So this came up with several parents we interviewed, and we suggested as well, is to just kind of, if you need to check your phone in the morning when your kids are getting ready or when your kids are there, just kind of do it, you know, in another room or where they can't see. And then for the most part, keep your eyes off of them, your hands off of them while you're in front of them.
Mm-hmm. And I remember there was somebody I saw, I liked this idea. She was saying that she and her husband alternate mornings.
Yes.
I can't remember exactly who that was who said
Emily,
that.
Emily, Emily Schumann from, she has a 2-year-old. I think she's 3. She had a 2-year-old when she did the interview. And that was great. And they were saying they alternate their mornings. So when it's their off morning, whether her or her husband's off morning, they can do what they want. So they can go to the gym, they can, you know, just relax in bed, which she says she doesn't too often. But and also they can also help out. So just because it's their off day doesn't mean they can't help, you know, with the kid or just be there at breakfast or something. And I thought that was a really nice way of doing it if you have the opportunity.
And I remember seeing Laura Roeder in there, another Love Your Work guest, the very productive Laura Roeder. Even she says, once you have a kid, it completely changes your routine. So don't feel bad if it's still challenging.
Right. And we mentioned right at the very end that you have to remember that it's only temporary, both the good and the bad. So you know when you eventually have children or something, it's going to be great, but like there's also going to be this bad part, but they will be over once your kids leave. And we interview people who, you know, with adult children who, mention how different it is now that their kids no longer live with them. So it's a temporary process and it's a long process. So we're not trying to like pretend it's the same as people who don't have kids. But it will change over time.
And there's so many different examples in this book, so many different things that people do, different ways that people approach their mornings and their evenings. It can be very overwhelming for a person, I think, especially if you're somebody who hasn't really thought about how to make the most of your morning routines. How would you suggest that a person start thinking about their morning routine and start making changes?
The main way of looking at it is keeping your routine short and easy to accomplish, especially in the beginning. It will greatly increase your chances of sticking to it. So we mentioned earlier, some people who say they don't have a routine, if that just means you barely have a routine, you kind of, you know, you get up and go to the bathroom and then you make breakfast. With that, you can just add one thing to it. So if you want to get into meditation, for example, after you go to the bathroom or before you make your breakfast. You could decide to do 5 or 10 minutes of meditation right before you make your breakfast. And that's a great way to just add one element in. And then if that's going well after a week or so, you're sticking to it, you then may want to add, you know, stretching or even like a very brief workout, something like that to actually just, you know, habit stack, as we mentioned earlier. And but keeping it very short is a great way to make sure that you kind of stick to it over time. And if you are finding that you're not sticking to something, you're kind of not even enjoying something you've added in, it's perfectly fine to drop it as long as you kind of give it a chance.
Yeah, and I think just keeping with it small, I would say even if you're going to meditate, go ahead and do 2 minutes even. You know, like I've written the book I wrote, The Heart to Start. People who are familiar with the fortress fallacy know that that's a good way to do a little bit of motivational judo and get yourself going on it. Another thing I think is that it's also easy to be resistant to the idea that like, oh, I'm going to do this every day. Well, mm-hmm. No, you don't have to. You can try it tomorrow. You can try it. Try to do 2 days in a row. You can try to do a week if you want. Mm-hmm. And also, once you have the routine established, it can change. I just got off of some projects that I kind of needed a break from, and so this week I have mixed up my morning routine. So I did the exact opposite of what I would normally do. I got up, took a shower first thing, went to a cafe, and went and wrote in that cafe. You know, I did that for 2 days in a row, and then I was like, okay, never again. But it, you know, it at least gave me a little taste, and it kind of jostled things up. And it's something that I kind of do on purpose when I'm looking to get out of a rut. So also something you found, that these are routines, and they're published in a book? But you know, by the time they get in people's hands, these people's routines might have changed.
Oh yeah, they almost certainly will have. And so we have a whole chapter at the back about adaptation. And yeah, we say it's important to make changes on your terms. So making changes because, you know, you're just falling out of a habit and you're trying to keep to it, but you know, you just can't find the time. That isn't particularly on your terms. But if you, like we mentioned just now, if you're finding that you're not enjoying something and you're trying to push through it anyway, that might be something that you want to change on your own terms. And in terms of actually kind of missing days, because we know, you know, you try and stick to a routine every single day, you are going to miss some days, including the weekends or occasionally during the week. Don't see one solitary missed day or even 2 days or 3 days in a row. Don't really see that as a setback. Just kind of embrace these moments and adapt to them over time. So kind of think about the bigger picture. Like if you miss a couple of days in a row, don't see that as, okay, I don't have this routine anymore. Just think of it as, okay, I missed a couple of days. I will get back on it tomorrow.
Yeah. And, I actually intentionally give myself the weekend off from most of the things in my routine. There were only 39% of people who had the same routine on weekends that they mm-hmm. do on weekdays. So you mm-hmm. can give yourself a little bit of a break with some of these things. Now, I'm curious, after interviewing all these people, how has this changed your approach to your morning routine and your evening routine?
Yeah, so the main way, I mean, one thing I have to say is because I have a wife and she is, like mentioned earlier, she's a night owl. I'm more of an early person. That does make it a little bit more different than if you're with someone who either is the same or you're not with someone at all. The main differences running this website and now running this book has made towards my morning routine is kind of in the way that I try and be calm in the morning, like mentioned previously. I previously, you know, I used to have my phone beside my bed, which I don't have anymore. And I would wake up in bed and like, I would literally hold my phone above my face, sometimes dropping it. And you know, they're kind of heavy, but, yeah, I would like be holding it there. And, you know, I'd be looking at Instagram, which is nice, but then I'd also be checking my email and Twitter and all these things. And it's just so unnecessary to be looking at that first thing in the morning. Like, you know, your brain is like barely awake. So I used to do that. Now I have an analog alarm clock that my wife got me. And we both keep our phones in the kitchen, you know, put on airplane mode and all that. And often, so I'll get up, I may read a little if I have time, but usually I'll just get up, you know, go to the bathroom, and then I'll just come into the kitchen and I will meditate for 10 minutes. And during this whole time, my phone is in airplane mode, you know, I've not turned it on or anything. And then during this time, my wife will get ready and I'll just make breakfast slowly. And this is something that it's similar to what my routine was like before, but the difference is I'm not checking these devices. I'm not like letting this like negativity in. And I have to say sometimes, you know, if I have an early morning meeting or something, I will begrudgingly have to check my phone just to see if anything has changed. But if I don't have anything like that, that often, my phone often stays on airplane mode until I, you know, leave the apartment or sit down to work. And that's been the main takeaway from, you know, running this website and doing the book for me, is just to kind of treat your mornings with intention. And that can be anything you want. So for me, it's like those 10 minutes of meditation, a little bit of reading, and just calm. But for someone else, it could be, you know, working out pretty hard and doing something else. So you kind of really need to find out what works for you and when.
Yeah, when you're talking about checking the phone in bed in the morning, I used to do that. And I'm a goner if that right. happens, because they already know how to hijack your attention and get you addicted to using these different apps. And so in the morning, when I don't have any willpower, I don't stand a chance. So that's why the phone is not in the bedroom at all. It's not allowed. So I like what you said about using your morning with intention. Just a little bit of intention can really spread out into the rest of your day and your life. So Benjamin Spall, I really like what you and Michael have done. The book is My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. It is available right now everywhere books are sold, I assume, since it's with Penguin. Mm-hmm. And where else would you like for people to find more of you?
So you can go to mymorningroutine.com, and then you can see the website and you can find out about the book there. My website is benjaminspall.com, and Michael's website is michaelzander.com with an X.
Great. Benjamin, thank you so, so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Is Love Your Work helping you find the intersection on your love and money Venn diagram? Does it bring you the inspiration and motivation to make you into the person that you want to be? If so, we, together, you and I, can make this the show that we want it to be. I'm trying to make a nourishing and thoughtful show, and I could use your help with that. Please donate to the show. Just a coffee a month will help support the hosting and production of this show. Just a coffee a month will help spread Love Your Work's message, helping more people live a balanced life with a healthy definition of success. To donate, visit our Patreon page at katavi.net/donate. Patreon is a platform that lets you support creators like me, vote with your dollars, and keep Love Your Work going at katavi.net/donate. As a thank you, you'll get early access, bonus content, and a discount on Love Your Work merchandise. Learn more at katavi.net/donate. That's katavi.net/donate. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by our Patreon supporters, such as mini sponsor Roxana Maynard of Agility Alchemist at agilityalchemist.com, and top supporters such as Arif Akhtar and Jeffrey Mason. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Katavi. The theme music for this show is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More, by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Katavi, Inc.